Ben Fagan here with another episode of Career Cash, the podcast. And on this episode, I'm joined by one of my close friends and former teammates, Vic Danza. Vic is now a senior corporate financial analyst at Northwell Health. And on this episode, we talk about how he finds a way to compete every single day, why you need to celebrate yourself, and how being open to always learning is the key to success. It's an awesome conversation. Let's get to it. So this is a very, very, very special episode of Career Cash, the podcast, because this is the first home edition. As you see, we're in our casual wear here. We were rocking the t-shirts. We're at home. So special episode. And I can't think of a better guy to join me in my home and hopefully in your home as well, other than Mr. Victor Danza. Vic, welcome to the show, my friend.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We're calling in all the way from New York. Where are you in New York? Tell the people.
I'm in New York City, Queens.
Oh, wow. Wow. Don't you forget it. But where are we from originally? Because this is important. We got to get all the important bio stuff out of the way. So talk to the people.
Originally from Brooklyn, you know, that's how we do. And lived in Long Island for, you know, college, for high school. And then after college, moved to Queens.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So before we dive too deep into anything, can you kind of catch me up as to what you do day to day? A little context for Vic and I, our relationship. Played baseball, Lynn. Real close
friends.
Real good relationship. And I really am genuinely happy to have you on here and hear, you know, about all the great things you're doing. So can you kind of catch me up and then everybody at home up on what you're doing on a day-to-day basis here?
I'd love to fill you in. I'm a financial analyst here at Northwell Health, which is a big healthcare system up here in mostly New York, but we, you know, we're targeting the tri-state area up here in the Northeast. Basically, my day-to-day as of right now in the past 3 years is I've been just looking over expenses for the entire health system. I've been trying to get, you know, things on contract, obviously, to save us most money we can. You know, traveling fees, there's a lot that goes into it. It's very particular. But it's definitely been like a great learning experience the past 3 years because I've never really concentrated on healthcare. I never thought I would, to be quite honest with you. But I really find it completely interesting and it catches my mind every day.
Awesome. And that's one of the, I think, the coolest things about what I'm looking forward to within this conversation is growing up, you're playing ball, you're working down that track, you know, very similar to me. And just like you said there, you're working in healthcare now, and that's something that you never really pictured yourself doing. What did you picture yourself doing? And then what was that transition like getting into this healthcare realm?
Well, it was definitely finance. And my idea of finance was something totally different than what finance actually is, because finance really it's everywhere in terms of, you know, in sports there's finance obviously, but like even boils down to healthcare and some of the things that I've learned I didn't even know was finance. So I guess really the biggest thing for me was, what is finance? Because I guess I knew I was a numbers guy, like that kind of caught my mind, and that's kind of the way I'm structured in terms of numbers and how I understand things, but how is that applied to real life things? And I, to be honest with you, I didn't know until I got the experience. I mean, I did have the internship in this position while I was in college, actually, one summer for 8 weeks. So I had a taste of it. But again, it was not the finance that I thought I would be doing in terms of when I thought of finance, I thought of more money and making money and income and all that type of stuff. But I never thought of the finance side of losing money and how to save money type deal. So that's kind of where I was in terms of finance, is just understanding how much finance can cover.
And that's one of the things that I think is cool and goes beyond just business finance or the things that you're speaking about, because it's the same kind of deal with journalism, hospitality, digitalism, whatever industry you're in, you have this kind of picture of the job. You know, if you think of finance, you might think of a bank, but there's, like you're talking about, there's so much more that goes into it. And I think with that, you kind of begin to have the ability to combine the things you're passionate about with the things that you're knowledgeable and skilled in. And so what has that kind of evolution been like? Because you're talking about you're learning a lot over the past 3 years, specifically, you know, in this position. So what has that evolution been like in terms of figuring out the things you like, you don't like, and kind of making your home within this industry?
Well, like I mentioned, like the work I do is very particular. So it's focused on concentrating on like just the expense of the health system, which might sound like it is a lot, but what happens in a health system and healthcare is like beyond one person's mind can really wrap their head around in terms of saving life, and boils down to ensure you have enough cotton swabs for a certain office. And when you're dealing with 17 hospitals and over 200 private practices, it's like almost tough to try to focus on like more than one thing. So generally speaking, like making that transition for getting a new position or like trying to learn more about the health system, that's always what I try to do, is learn more about healthcare. Because again, I never studied healthcare. I've always like studied finance and mostly investing stuff also at Lind in particular. But in terms of trying to understand the health system as a whole was like almost impossible. And like trying to put myself in a position also to sharpen my tools like of understanding healthcare is like almost, it's so much, because you think like, I relate it back to a baseball player. So like you try to understand the game in every aspect. But again, like I was a pitcher, so like I didn't know anything about hitting, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I mean, I know somebody who's been on the mound and hit. He's just standing right in front of me, but no big deal. But yeah, again, like that's something that I really tried to do. And I thought maybe it was almost too much at once. So when I was able to kind of boil down step by step and knowing that I can make a career out of this and like not trying to be the best right away was a good transition for me.
I think that you nailed it right on the head right there, is not trying to be the best right away, not trying to do everything at once. Because I think that's a tough thing, especially if we're striving to be great in the fields that we're in, great in our lives. We want to do everything at once, or learn everything at once, be everything at once, get all the information, and it can kind of be overwhelming. So is that something that you had to learn, or is that something that you kind of went into it already with that mindset? What was that kind of approach like, or how did that approach get developed?
So I always, like, in terms of being in corporate America and, like, being in the office, I always felt like I had, like, this competitive edge. And, like, I guess it's something that, you know, the chip I have on my shoulder, or just something that I carry from being on, you know, playing in sports, you know, that's – I brought that into the office, not, like, wanting to do it, but, like, just subconsciously doing it. So by trying to get ahead of somebody who's 5-6 years older than me and that has all that experience, I tried to, like, almost – learn their knowledge and then some, while also trying to learn a new, totally new position. And like, if you're going to sit here and tell me I couldn't do it, I'm going to tell you you're wrong. And I can do it. I'm going to do it. And like, I still kind of have that mentality, but it's also being efficient and not losing in the day-to-day tasks that like I have to do every day and have to be perfect, because that person did their day-to-day perfect 5 years ago already. So like, it'd be great to, yeah, like, be knowledgeable and be so eager all to do this at once, but at such a young age, you know, everybody wants to be that young phenom, and that's just kind of how I am. But again, like, how are you going to do your day-to-day better than somebody did it 5 years ago? And that was something to me that was like, okay, this, I see this person did this, this, and this 5 years ago, let me do it this way and maybe it'll be better. So it's having that competitive edge, but also being open-minded and also being skeptical. So you might see somebody do something in a certain way that they think is the best way to do a certain task. Like, for instance, I picked up a lot of these tasks that the current person in my position had. And I, now it's 3 years later, I changed them all completely. And I, luckily I had leadership where they were able to work with me in terms of being open-minded, but also being skeptical in why this person was doing it that way. So that is my competitive edge. So that was a good transition of trying to be better than the next person or better than somebody that's 5 years ahead of me, was be better than the work that they did 5 years ago. And then eventually they'll end up gaining ground.
I think that's a really cool perspective to have. And I think it's also a kind of fine line to walk in terms of getting caught up with, you know, comparing yourselves to others and like, oh, dang, they did that. Well, the environment might have been different. The resources might have been different. Their knowledge might be different. So how can you balance in a way that's healthy and productive for you, that competitiveness versus comparing? And what's that relationship like, where you can be competitive while comparing yourself to others, but in a way that's productive and not detrimental to your performance?
See, that's something that I guess maybe like we think subconsciously we compare each other, you know, to the next guy. But I guess the same token, what I try to do is not compare myself to anybody. So what I did say is, yeah, like try to be better than that person. But if you believe in yourself that the work that I do on a day-to-day basis is already better than the person that did it 5 years ago, then you're all kind of comparing yourself to yourself, right? So then, like, when I'm doing all these new tasks and I'm being very open-minded and skeptical at the same time, it opens up this pathway of being competitive with myself. And like, and that kind of gets the ball rolling, like saying like, okay, like I did that last week and then now I'm looking at it again, like I shouldn't have done that. Or like, why didn't I do it this way? And it's a constant growth. And when you put yourself responsible in your own shoes and being like critiquing your own work with having a positive attitude, which is also a big transition and it could be hard. Like being not knocking yourself down, but almost pushing yourself up and pushing yourself forward. And I've always heard that term, you know, when I was younger, but it's crazy. I never understood all this stuff until I really got thrown out on my own and like had to do it myself. So that's been like the self competition, I think, is the balance.
So what does that kind of mean to you now? Can you define that, of this idea of picking yourself up versus knocking yourself down?
Like, I almost kind of get like pumped for myself that I directly see that last week I did X, Y, and Z on that spreadsheet. And then I found like a way to do it 5 times faster and it looks, you know, 5 times better. And I'm like, nice. Like, wait, like you're moving forward. Like, I'm not staying on the straight line. I'm always like going up, or like I'll crash sometimes. Like, I know I'm going to crash. And like what I saw in that Excel, I crashed, you know, cause like, I feel like I should be better than that, but then I'm trending back upward again. So it's that same self competition that I have with myself, that it's could be hard, because I could get hard on myself. Cause I could get down on myself, and almost like anybody, you know, I know you are too. You get down on yourself almost cause you feel like you failed yourself, but taking it in as a learning experience and getting pumped that you realize that you're realizing that it's a fail, that's a plus right there. Like, when people don't understand that, like, I did something stupid. Okay, at least I'm realizing I did something stupid. Not that I did something stupid and I carried on the rest of my day thinking it's good. So realizing your failures is a plus.
No, I love that. You're getting me juiced up. I'll be 100% honest. Let's go.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
No, that's awesome. You really do have to celebrate your own accomplishments and really be a cheerleader for yourself. I think that's such a big thing. And again, that's something that goes beyond and transcends all these different industries and goals that you might have, whether it's with business, personal life, whatever it might be. You gotta be a cheerleader for yourself too. I want to touch back on some of the things. Going back to ball a little bit, transitioning, you had the internship in college. And this has been something I've actually been thinking about over the past couple of days, because I would talk with student athletes and have these conversations, and you almost feel like, oh man, you know, the time, the dedication it takes to play sports, especially at the collegiate level, you feel like you're missing out on a lot of the opportunities, like your internships, your study abroad, your work experience. And we've had conversations where some players would feel like, oh man, I can't do anything. I just dribble a basketball. I just kick a ball. I just, you know, throw a baseball, whatever it might be. Right. I don't have any skills. What is your perspective on that in terms of, as you're a student athlete? Yeah, you might be missing out on some things, but you are building very, very real, tangible skills that can take you far in life. So what is your kind of perspective and experience on what baseball or sports has given you to propel you into the next phase? Or perhaps, you know, you could say it was a wash, it was a waste of time. What do you got for me?
absolutely not. I'll never say it's a wash. There's so much I've learned, and like, and it's so funny, because I wish I could tell myself 4 years ago, being like, this is important, like so important to not just what you want to do right now, but your character and your future in 10, 20, 30, the rest of your life. And I did have an understanding of that. And I'm that's what I'm almost proud of, because I did kind of take that in terms of like, kind of how you do anything is how you're going to do everything, is like a good quote I like to live with. So, you know, I mean, guys like me and you on the field, like when we were on the field, and there was nothing else that one could take us off, like from working our hardest.
If I could pause real quick, just for context for who Vic Danza is. Last outing of his senior season, he pitched threw about 2,000 pitches in his last outing. What was the number? I know you know it.
176.
176. Unbelievable. Take it away. You were saying?
Yes. So, again, just how you do anything is how you're going to do everything. So, on the field, I kind of made sure I gave it my all because, one, I didn't want to regret it, and, two, that's I was building the foundation of how I'm going to do the next thing. So regardless of what I'm doing, my foundation and my structure and my effort is going to be the same because that's what you're going to build your character as. And it's crazy when you're going from your 18 to 22, like you change so much. It's insane. Like I look at myself from when I graduated to now, I don't see myself changing as much in terms of like sharpening my knowledge and tools, but the way I view things from when I was 18 to 20 was like totally different, like a light switch that went off my head. So that's kind of how that went down of in terms of using ball and those characteristics and structure that I learned on the field to take it into the office. And I guess that competition and that chip on my shoulder carried over as well, which I'm also very grateful for, because it keeps that eagerness and that self-competition. So now, like, I'm not competing really with anybody in terms of like playing the other team or in terms of on the baseball field. There's no hitter that I'm facing on the computer, you know? So now that self-competition is more important than ever. Whereas I can compete against somebody else. So now it's almost like hard to compete, but I'm grateful that I still have that in me to compete with myself in terms of looking at improvement, more important than looking at failure.
And being excited about it all.
And getting pumped about it, yeah.
That's the big moral of the story here. Can you kind of walk me through that transition, getting into the work and how you kind of navigated that? Because when we talked before we, you know, started recording and a couple of days ago over the phone, you know, you were telling me a little bit about, you know, how you were fortunate to get into this position through some connections that you built. So what was that whole process like? How'd you go about building those connections and in creating this opportunity for yourself?
So I guess it kind of started when I was a baseball player, I needed a plan B. You know, my plan A was to be a professional baseball player. That's what you're there to do. You know, I'm competing, that's what I'm doing. But like when it came, push came to shove, like obviously ball's not going to last forever. So however far this is going to take me, it's going to end, believe it or not. So that kind of was a slap in the face when I turned like 20, 21. And then, but it was also kind of tough because like we mentioned before, it's tough to find that trail from that connects sports and your future career. And as much as, you know, you try to do it at Lynn and all the resources that they provided, it's the time of day, it almost doesn't fit in. As you know, you're on the road, you know, couple hours of practice, couple hours of homework, and then, you know, you're trying to do the best you can in that. And then you're exhausted and you got to do it again the next day. So, fortunately I had a connection with Northwell where I just reached out for information because I know my contact was, he was in finance and he happened to have not a similar journey, but kind of like did a bunch of different stuff within finance, which I had like no idea was related to finance. As I mentioned before, leaving college, I had no idea finance touched on so many different things and you can have a career in finance and so many different things. So then he's like, well, I know somebody that might be interested in an internship this summer. And would you be interested? So then out in my head, I'm like, wow, I mean, I got to play summer ball. Like, how am I going to do this? Luckily, it matched up where I had, you know, 8 weeks of internship and then I played 8 more weeks in summer ball. So I was able to balance it. And again, I'm fortunate for that. Those 8 weeks were my almost, that was my edge on the interview process after I graduated. So when April and May came around of my senior year, obviously ball was, you know, coming to an end and I knew that. I reached out to the department that I interned with and I said, hey, do you have any jobs open or know anybody who's open? And then again, they liked the work I did as an intern, which was, again, so important. Like as much as I wanted to learn, it's also being able to perform and hold yourself accountable and that type of stuff. The employers really like to see that. So they said, yeah, like, you know, you couldn't have asked at a better time. Let's set up an interview. I accepted that job before I graduated. So I graduated in May. June 1st, I started working. So again, that path was is a really quick turnaround, a big change of events and how I went about life on my day to day. But again, like that was kind of who I was. Like I was kind of a, let's get it going. Like this is over. Let's get the next thing going. Like I was always felt like I was, if I wasn't moving, I was losing. Like I wasn't covering ground. And that could like bite some people in the butt sometimes, because some people need that break and some people need to figure out what they want to do. And again, like the job that I'm at right now, the exact position, this is not what I want to do. I know that's not what I want to do, but I had to try it and give it time to know that I didn't, that's not what I wanted to do. So that was that connection and that blend. But I think the determination, the execution of doing the work properly for 3 years, and then I knew this is not what I want to do. And I'm somebody who wants to move quick, but it took me 3 years to really realize that. So it kind of put things in perspective.
So what is it that you want to do in the simplest terms, I would say?
You don't know what you want to do until you try it, mm-hmm. right? So I actually just got promoted. Thank you. I just got promoted to a higher finance branch. I'm going to be doing something totally different. I accepted the job. It sounds interesting. Like on paper, it looks, you know, interesting, something that can really grab my mind. But I won't know until I do it for a year or so, you know? And then you start to learn quicker, like things you like and you don't like, because one's process of elimination, I'm only going from one position to another. So this is only the second job position I'll have in terms of finance. But you start to, my understanding is you'll start to develop an idea of what you want to do more and more, because it comes process of elimination of what branches, there's going to be less and less branches that I've tried. So it's not that I want to try as many branches as I can or as many departments as I can to learn what I want to do. Obviously the goal is to find a job that I want to stick with. But I know that I have to try these things and get my hands dirty with them and do the work that I'm not going to like I love it, to realize that I like it or not, you know? So that's,
can you break that down a little bit? Yeah. I don't know if the people at home heard this. I don't know if I heard this. You do the work that you don't like you love it. What does that mean? How do you go about doing that?
So that's to me what I've learned in reading and watching videos. Like those aren't my words. I don't know exactly who said it. I can't take the credit for it.
That's plagiarism if you did.
I know you're a professor now. You throw me under the bus. But again, doing something you hate like you love it, to me, that's like determination at its finest. So like getting fired up to do conditioning. I don't want to do that at 5 o'clock in the morning, but like that's my dedication to getting better. Or that's my, and in this aspect, that's my dedication to learning what I want to do, is doing stuff that I don't want to do, but doing it correctly. Because if you do something that you don't want to do incorrectly, you might like it, you're just doing it wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, that's also something that's super important. Like when I first started building these spreadsheets and everything, I thought I hated it. Like I was like, this is so brutal, it's so tedious. And then I'm like, wait a second, blah, 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 blah. I just did that. Look how good I made that. I just got better. Why did I do that? At least I realized that I did it wrong before submitting it to my boss. You know, I was like, wow, it's a good catch, Vic. Like that's what I'm saying. Like identifying those failures, that fires me up, because I was good enough to identify them. Mm. You know, it's not like my boss is telling me I did something wrong. I told myself I'm doing something wrong. So and internally, I'm my own boss. So I have to watch out for myself and my work that I do. So doing that work that I hate like I love led into that. Because, again, I hated it. But checking it over and making sure it's all good, like I loved it, because I'm getting into every single detail and I check what's wrong and I find what's wrong, fires me up. Because I'm doing something I hate like I love it.
So, I love the stuff you're talking about right now. It's getting me going, like I said. But what do you tell somebody who's saying, yeah, like I hear you got to try new things, but how do you go about trying new things? What do you tell somebody who doesn't know like where to even start with trying new things? Like, I just don't know what the heck I want to do, period. Where do I start?
Take the first thing you see. Take the first thing you see. If it's on LinkedIn, any opportunity that you get that falls on your plate happens for a reason. whether that reason is you hate that job in 2, 3 months, a year, 3 years, that happens for a reason. Because if you're giving yourself that opportunity to find out what you hate, you know it's not what you hate, and it's closer to being what you want to love. So, and that goes, when I realized that, and then it's like, wow, that connects with everything. It connects with food, that connects with relationships, the people, you know, the friendships you make, you know, that type of stuff is going to carry on for so long. Like, sometimes I ask myself, why was I friends with that kid? Like, now I see it now. Like, why was I friends with, you say that, like, why would I hang out with that kid? No, it's because you got better, and like, now you realize that, like, I don't want to be with that type of person. I don't want to surround myself with that type of person. That's that identifying the failure is a positive, and that's moving forward.
Were you trying to tell me something right there? Is this a problem?
I mean, I wouldn't have picked
this episode.
I wouldn't have picked up the phone call if that was the case.
No. I appreciate that. No, this is just absolutely unbelievable conversation. We are getting to that time of the show here where we're winding things down, as much as I hate to say that. But I figure you got one last juicy thing inside of you, a valuable thing. I can sense it. It's time to cash out. Leave the folks with your biggest piece of advice, biggest lesson for a little money on the road. What do you got for us today?
The three things that I'm going to say I've touched on, but just an easy way to keep it is do everything that you hate like you love. Take every opportunity you get because you don't know if you hate it or not. And three, don't get caught up in your failures as negatives. Identify those failures as positives. And if somebody else tells you failed, be skeptical about it. Don't knock yourself down, and don't just because somebody has a higher title. Again, be open-minded, but be skeptical. So be willing to learn new things, but try to find a new process to find it better.
Beautiful. Most importantly, celebrate yourself. I love it. Ladies and gentlemen.
Work hard, play hard.
Victor Brick Danza, thank you so much for coming on again. Always, always a pleasure.